All right, is everybody's seatbelt fastened? Spring up, oh well. She just mentioned the idea of cultivation, and I thought today that there's something that happened, already has in the service, and as the word comes forth, there's some breaking of ground that's for tonight. So this word is going to go out, but it's not just for us here, it's for what's going to happen tonight, and obviously in the weeks to come and whatnot. But spring up, oh well. So we sing this song. Lots of times we sing songs, and we don't realize the scripture reference or what it's talking about when we sing them. So this is the song that we sing. It's called In the River. It's a Jesus culture song. It says this: there is a river where goodness flows. There is a fountain that drowns sorrows. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising. It's rising. There's a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising. It's rising. It's bursting. It's bursting. Up from the ground, we feel it now. We come alive in the river. There's a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven crashing over us. The tide is rising. It's rising. It's bursting. It's bursting. Up from the ground, we feel it now. We come alive in the river. Break open prison doors. Set all the captives free. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well, in me. In me, in you. Point your neighbor and say, it's in you. It's in you. Spring up, oh well. We come alive in the river. Break open prison doors. Set all the captives free. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well, in me. We come alive in the river. So it comes from Numbers 21, and at this point in history, the Israelites are a desert people, so they're literally wandering through the desert, and how many of you know, if you're in the desert, water is extremely important. It's important anyway. You can last about 72 hours without water. If we were in this room for more than 72 hours, we would all wind up dead if we had no water. Food's a different story. From what I understand, the longest fast ever is with just water is around 80 days. So comparatively speaking, with food and water, you understand how important water is. Extremely important. So it says this in Numbers 21, verse 16 through 18. The Israelites are a desert people. It says this: from there, talking about the Israelites, they went to Beer, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song. So picture this, you're in the desert. It is extremely hot. There's sand everywhere. You're speaking over this portion of land, and you're speaking to a well, and you're saying, rise up, spring up, oh well. All of you, it says all of you, which is important to understand, all of you, sing to it. There's something about unity here. There's something about us all singing the song. Sing to it, all of you, the well which the leaders sank, dug in the nation's nobles by the lawgiver with their staves. So isn't it interesting that they sang to the well, spring up, oh well. At this time, the Israelites were desert people. They hadn't yet entered the land of brooks of waters and flowing streams. They weren't in the promised land yet. And since water was a matter of life and death to them, this meant searching for wells in the desert. Now, when we sing this song, we are not calling on natural water. We are calling on the supernatural river of the Holy Spirit. You say, why? Because the enemy's drowned in the river. You wonder why people are having visions of a river flowing through the sanctuary. You wonder why Connie's had this vision. The enemy's drowned in the river. Do you remember the Red Sea? The enemy's drowned in the river. It literally says there was a wind that blew back those waves. It said it blew it back and it blew it back and it blew it back. But in the end, the river caused the death of the enemy. Isn't it interesting? So we're calling on the supernatural river of the Spirit of God because the enemy is drowned in the river. The same way the Red Sea came piling down on the Egyptians, God uses water as a weapon. Hence baptism. Why do I need to be baptized? Because it's a weapon. Oh my, my. The enemy hates the river, come on, because he likes dry places. He loves dry places. He wants to wear you out and dry you out. He wants you tired. He wants you exhausted. He wants you frustrated. He wants you hard to get along with. He wants you mad at everybody. He wants you easily offended, so any little thing will tip you off. Listen to this.
I talked to Kelly about this 2 days before I'm about to read you something. Like a car that is low on oil, the enemy wants you overheated, hard to work with, ready to break down, stuck, done, finished, fed up, malfunctioning. I literally wrote this dry, 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 dry. God had me write that over and over again for a reason. Barren, imprisoned, in bondage, lonely, no peace and no rest. And most of all, he wants dry churches. Yeah. We're not a dry church. We're not a dry church. People are coming for something to drink. It's up to us to release the river. Each of you that is born again has a river on the inside. You said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, but you got to open your mouth. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. There is no high like the high you get when God unveils something or gives you revelation on something. I don't care what drug you put in front of somebody and that they take, there was no high like the Spirit of God speaking into you and through you about something concerning life. There's no high like revelation. God's got a reward system. Woo! My. But he wants dry churches. So, again, 2 nights ago, I wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning, as usual, and I read this. Now, I've talked to Kelly 2 days ago on the way home from work, and I said, I keep getting these pictures of machines that are dried up. There's no grease, there's no oil. They need that to function properly. And I saw this thing happen, and I saw things being overheated. This is 2 days ago. After this is the same day I talked to Kelly about this. It says, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. Never become extremely spent over your circumstances. If worry were ever justified, it would have been during the circumstances surrounding the writing of this psalm. Evil men, they were dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. Those who do wrong were ascending to the highest places of power and were tyrannizing their brothers who were less fortunate. Sinful men and women strutted through the land with arrogant pride and basked in the light of great prosperity while good people became fearful and worried. It says, do not fret. This is our word. Never get unduly upset. Stay cool. Even for good reason, worrying will not help you. It only heats up the bearings, but does not generate any steam. It does not help the locomotive for its axles to become hot. Their heat is only a hindrance. The axles become heated because of unnecessary friction. Dry surfaces are grinding against each other instead of working as smooth cooperation aided by thin cushion of oil. The enemy loves dry places. The enemy's job is to wear you out and to dry you out, but we have a river that's flowing from the throne of God. I'm telling you today to drink. Drink. Isn't it interesting how simple the words fret and friction are? How similar the words fret and friction are? Friction caused by fretting is an indication of the absence of the anointing oil of the grace of God. When we worry, a little bit of sand gets into the bearings. It may be some slight disappointment, ungratefulness, or discourtesy we have experienced. Suddenly, now life is no longer running smoothly. Friction leads to heat, and heat can lead to very dangerous conditions. Do not allow your bearings to become overheated. Let the oil of the Lord keep you cool, so that an unholy heat will not cause you to be regarded as one of the evil men. Now listen to this. Remember the dry, dry, dry. Remember the dry, dry, dry. Dear restless heart, be still. Don't fret and worry. God has 1,000 ways his love and help to show. Just trust, 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 trust. Dear restless heart, be still. For peace is God's own smile. His love can every wrong and sorrow reconcile. Just love, 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 love. Dear restless heart, be brave. Don't moan and sorrow on. He has morning, kind and chilly winds that blow. Just hope, 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 hope. Dear restless heart, recline upon his breast this hour. His gaze through life, his love and his blossom and flower. Just rest, 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 rest. Dear restless heart, be still. Don't struggle to be free. Hear that. You are free. God's life is your life. From him, you may not flee. Just pray, 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 pray. You know how you're not dry, 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 dry? Pray, 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 pray. Rest, 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 rest. Hope, hope, hope. Love, 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 love. Trust, trust, trust. The enemy has a plan for your life, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He's got all kinds of ways and tricks and schemes and traps, but it's not going to take you out. Even though you think it is, it's not going to. So isn't it interesting? He loves dry places. Nobody likes dry churches. It's interesting because when Abraham died, he left Isaac his inheritance. And with that inheritance came a ton of land, a ton of possessions, lots of stuff. And one of the things Isaac found out when he went in to explore the land is a lot of the wells that Abraham had dug during his life were now clogged. And if you study this, basically the enemy would come in. It was a form of war to come in and clog up wells, because if you could shut off the wells from people, then they would die. So they would fill them with dirt and rocks and animal carcasses, anything that they could find, branches, anything that they could find. They'd stuff these wells full of them to shut them down. And things have not changed. That was in the natural. The enemy is trying to do that in your life. He's trying to quench this Holy Spirit that is raging and ready to flow, and he's trying to clog you, and he's trying to clog me. I've got this thing in me, these things have been deposited in us. When the youth were up here, when we were just, they were twirling and dancing, these things have been deposited into the body. We have to guard them. Once they are ours, we have to guard them. We have to protect them like it's gold. Now, switching gears, we look at Luke 11. And again, this portion of scripture, again, read hundreds of times, but never saw the connection in relation to what God's been showing me about this idea of spring up, oh well. This is what it says. This is Luke 11. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and him who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now listen, if a son asks for bread from his father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? He's using this as a comparison. He's saying, I am ultimately pure and holy. And humanity, being inherently evil, typically does the right thing when it comes to this, when their sons are asking things for things or their daughters are asking for things. If you then, being evil, he says, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Yeah, hey, spring up, oh well. Hey, ask for more. Listen, it's not a little dabble, do you? Pray. Say, Jesus, pour out on me. Pour out of me more than you have already. I'm hungry and thirsty. It's interesting because when they were in the desert, they were forced to sing to that well. Isn't it interesting? We get into these life circumstances, and sometimes it has to come to this idea of desperation and extreme need for us to start calling out, God, I need you. He doesn't want us just to cry out when our circumstances are all screwed up. He wants us to cry out when everything's going awesome. He wants us to cry out when we're in the valley. He wants us to cry out wherever we're at. He said, call on me. Call on me. I'll give it to you. Ooh, I will. And he was casting out a demon. Now listen, I never understood this. Like, because when you read the scriptures, sometimes it's like things shift so fast. It's like, did they just leave out a portion? Why are things turning so fast? Listen to this. It says he was casting out demons, and one was mute, which is interesting, right? So it says, so it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke. The demon was mute. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever seen that before? So when this mute demon comes out of the person, it is a mute demon, the person begins speaking when the thing comes out of him. So it was when the demon had gone out, the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled. Hey, we're talking about this idea of marvel, and people being in awe. But some of them said he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven, But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided itself falls. And as we're talking about unity here, right? If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, because they're accusing Jesus. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? I love that. Oh, man. Jesus just, he says some stuff to people. He says some stuff. He knows how to switch gears. Ugh. By whom do your sons cast them out? He knows how to shut them. Anyway, therefore, they will be your judges. Listen, he says, but if I cast out demons with the finger, not just a finger, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Listen, when a straw man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But hey, when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Being more than conquerors includes the idea of not only do we win the war, but we get the spoils of the war. So everything the devil tried to take you out with now becomes your tool. It's unreal. It really is. Count it all joy, the diverse trials that you fall into. Why? Because you're going to come out in triumph. You come out in a conquering. You come out stronger in the end with more fruit and more character. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Now listen, never saw it before. And this hit me like, right? When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through what? He goes through dry places. And listen, when this door opened up for me, you want to talk about Plinko? this is the way, because you're full of the Word. And when you study the Word, when God opens the door to a certain scripture, then you're like, ching, 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 ching. All these things just fall down the Plinko board into the 10,000 thing. And my mind is spinning at this point. Because I know where this is all going. So he goes through dry places. Dry places are places without water. That's a revelation, right? Seeking rest, but he doesn't find any. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Now, I used to think that was a good thing, but not when you study it. When you study the original Greek of this, literally what this is saying, it's rendered as empty. Okay? It's not a good thing. If good things don't fill a space, evil will. It says it's swept in order. It's actually a vainful, prideful thing if you study the original. So dead religion has taken over. Jesus told the religious leaders, you are like whitewashed tombs, but you're full of dead man's bones. The house is nice and clean and swept and in order, but the problem is there's no water there. The enemy loves to move through dry places. Loves it. Then he goes out and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, because they all love dry places. And they enter and dwell there. And the land, last state of that man is worse than the first. The enemy loves to operate in dry places. The enemy chose to tempt Jesus where? In the desert. He loves it. We have to fly. Galatians 5:16. This is going to have to be two parts for sure. Now, this is where this opened up again. This is where my mind went first. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Where? In the water. Do you remember the vision that Ezekiel had? Ezekiel saw a river coming out from the threshold of the temple door. And where did it start? It started at the ankles. It started at the knees. It went to the waist. And then it says it was waters to swim in coming from the throne of God. And it said, anywhere the river went, everything lived. The river. Walk in the river, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh if you walk in the river. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, if you're walking in the water, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. What? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, adultery, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, evil, murders, drunkenness, revelries. Dry, 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 dry. Nothing to give. Empty, barren, wasteland. Dry places, which I told you beforehand, just as I told you as times passed, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God has a raging river running through it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, where the river flows. It's where the river flows. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the river. When you think about the idea of Abraham and those wells, the enemy came to fill those wells with dead, rotting flesh. Lust. Came to try to clog it. So my mind shifts, and it goes to the beginning. Genesis 1:2. This is what it says. It says, the earth was without form. Literally, if you study it, it's an empty place. It's uninhabited. It says it's a void. It's a barren wasteland. And darkness was over the face of the deep. The word deep literally means surging mass of water or abyss. And it says, the Spirit of God was hovering. Hovering literally means a hen brooding over her eggs, over the face of the waters. The word waters here is associated with reproduction. So you have the earth, which is dry, void wasteland, and you have the Spirit of God, on the other hand, that's hovering all the waters. God's intention in the beginning was for heaven to meet earth, for the water to meet the dry land. So the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In the beginning, the Spirit of God is associated with water. It's called the law of first mention. It's the principle and interpretation of Scripture, which states that the first mention or occurrence of a subject in Scripture establishes an unchangeable pattern, with that subject remaining unchanged in the mind of God throughout Scripture. So if you go through the Scriptures, when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, you see the river right up in there. Oh, everybody alive. Law of first mention. It's like the Spirit is saying to the water, everything you are naturally, I am spiritually. No wonder the devils walk through dry places. And then you go on to Genesis 2. This is just right later on. This is where my mind is going now. The Spirit of God is opening these doors. And the Lord God formed man out of what? You ever seen wet dust? The dust of the ground. And what did he do? Hey, you want the river? You wonder why Jesus breathed on people? You want the river? Made out of the dust of the ground. But he had to add the river. The disciples before the upper room, he had to add the river. Mind-boggling. Breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And what did it say? Man became a living being. Ezekiel's, the vision of the river. What happens to the river? Goes, when it hits, everything lives. Hear it. So the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And guess what? Out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that's pleasant to sight and good for food. Guess what? You need water to grow, right? The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. It says that man was made from the dust of the ground. God breathed the breath of life in his nostrils. The earth needs heaven. Even in Eden, there was a river present. Even in the beginning. Thy will be done in this dry place as it is in heaven. Because this dry place needs a river. Made from the dust of the ground. Later on, we find out in Genesis 3, verse 14, says, so the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, and this is the temptation, you know, because you've tempted Adam, even done this, you are cursed more than any cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. And what does it say? You shall eat dust all the days of your life.
you're going to live in a dry place and you're going to love it and you're going to eat the dust. So we are made out of the dust of the ground. It's interesting because when you're talking about the natural man, really the only enemy's inroad to you is through that lust of the flesh. It's through that natural man. It's through that old nature. It's through that. He can't mess with the river. So my thing is, let's get filled to overflowing so there's no room for the enemy to operate. That's up to me. That's up to me to look in the mirror and deal with me. Guarding what's been given to us. Those words would go out. Guard what's been entrusted to you. So, so important. He tells the enemy, you're going to die in dry places. We need the river. The Bible says that will be done on earth, the dry place as is in heaven, the river. The earth needs heaven. The river has to meet the earth to produce anything. We find that in the beginning of Genesis, right in. And now here's the last book of the Bible. The last book. Hey, there's a river running through it. You hear me? Oh, man. Revelations 22, 1 through 5, this is what it says. This, we talked about the first book, last book. And he showed me, this is John on the Isle of Patmos, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from where? The throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst or middle of its street, on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, no more dry, barren place. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. There shall be, they need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. River started in Genesis, and it goes all the way to Revelation. It's just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. It is the river of the Holy Spirit. It's a river of revelation, and we all need revelation in here. I don't care where we're at right now. God wants to open our eyes even more to who he is, even more to his plans. Let's stay up in the river. Protect yourself in the river. You know, the enemy has all kinds of ways to try to pull you out of that river, and typically he uses the people closest to you. You say, why? Because they're close to you. Typically, he uses people that have access into your life. And then, God forbid, we're worried about something happening 1,000 miles away from us, too. You know what I'm saying? He says, today has trouble of its own. You know, we don't need our minds drifting somewhere out in the past, out into the future. Oh, what if this? What if that? Fret and worry, all this stuff that gets sand up in our gears and our bearings and grinds. And then we're, you know, going through life and it's... And then we have nothing to offer anybody. And we're mad and we're frustrated and we're angry, mad at God, mad at somebody else. Get mad at the enemy. Get mad at the devil. He is the root cause for all this chaos. There's a river running through it. If the musicians want to come up. It's interesting. I can't tell you how many years I thought. Isaiah 59:19 says this. It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. It says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will set up a standard against him. I always thought it was the enemy coming in like a flood until you study it. It's not the enemy coming in like a flood. Listen to the Amplified version. Everybody awake? Listen to the Amplified. So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west and the glory from the rising of the sun. For he, the Spirit of the Lord, will come in like a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord drives, overwhelming the enemy. Just like the Red Sea. God's breath drives the river. His word drives the river. The anointing of the Spirit of God drives the river, and it gets deeper, and it gets deeper, and it gets deeper. My thing is, I'm not getting out of the river. And listen, this is strategy. We know the weapons of our warfare. They are not carnal.
but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. We need to declare to the enemy that we are not morons. We are not idiots. We are not dumb or stupid. We're not fools. If you're here for any length of time, you begin to see that these teachings are coming forth are to weaponize us so that we know that we have something to fight with. You know, when I was in the world and shortly after when I came out of the world, I was a sitting duck. I remember being just torn left and right, to and fro, double-minded, didn't know what I wanted, thought I knew what I wanted. The enemy's goal in your life is to get you double-minded, to not be secure, to not have a foundation. But we know better. So even though it doesn't feel good sometimes to love our enemy, there's a reason why God says love your enemy. The Bible says in Isaiah 12:3, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. What is your ladle? Is that a word? What is your cup? It's joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the enemy comes and tries to attack your joy. Don't let him. Casting down every imagination. Bring it into obedience to what the Bible says. And it's not a feeling. Right? Love is not a feeling. Sure, do you get butterflies? But those don't last long. They come and go. Love is a choice. When God says, don't get vengeance on your enemy, I'll deal with it. There's going to be a period in there where you're going, oh, I'm going to choke somebody out. But that's where up here, we have something called self-control, and we shut it down. Walking in godliness, there's something called practice. I learned a lesson at one point that what was going on in my mind doesn't control me. I control this. It's called self-control. I control this. This isn't out of control. I'm not letting my mind dictate what I'm saying, where I'm going, what my next move is. I'm letting the Spirit of God relate to this thing that the Bible says I have, the mind of Christ. And that's who I'm listening to. I'm not listening to lust. I'm not listening to temptation. I'm not listening to those outside voices, right? I'm listening to the Spirit of God, and we're up in the river. And I'm telling you, the voice of God to you is going to get clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer as the days go forward. I'm prophesying over you that the word of the Lord that is up on the inside of you is going to be released. Hear this. It's going to be released. That God is going to position you in circumstances in front of people that you thought you would never talk to, that you thought you would never minister to. When the world waxes worse and worse, there's going to be people coming up out of the woodwork with questions that need answers. And you have the answers. We have the answers. This house has the answer. There was a prophecy over us at one point that we were going to declare and are declaring, this is your God.
Yeah.
We're going to be teaching people who the Father is. We're going to be teaching a fatherless generation. Generations. Who Daddy is. And that he's saying this word, come home. Come home. Y'all can stand. Ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, rivers to swim in. Peter stood out and he said this, and we'll say it again. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my manservants and maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. There's a word that has come forth that the glory of God is going to cover the earth.
Yeah.
When this comes in full magnitude, there's going to be two things happening. There's going to be a love for the glory, and there's going to be a hate for the glory. And people are going to come to a crossroads in their life, and they're going to have to choose whether they want to flow in the river or if they want to step out of the river and go the opposite way. If it is a barren, dry place, or is a place of abundance and prosperity and fruit. Is it an easy road? He said it's not an easy road. He said the world loves the other road. They'll go on the other road because it feels good, but they always end up empty. But we will sacrifice, and we will go through some stuff, and we will stay connected, and he will build our character in the river. We're not going to go thirsting for other drinks of water somewhere else. We're not going to take every cup that the enemy gives us and says, taste this, try this, this feels good. Let your desires and cravings guide you. No. We're letting this stuff guide us and lead us. This is the stuff. This is the food. We have food that others know not of. Feed people. Give somebody something to drink. And we pray a sealing of this word. New wineskins. Hey, what does the scripture say? Why did the wineskin burst? It's all dried out. Couldn't hold water. But hey, this is a big old wineskin. And we're going to stretch and we're going to move with God. And we're going to go where he tells us to go, and we're going to do what he tells us to do. No matter whether we think it feels good or not, we're going to speak the truth in love. But we put a ceiling on this word in the hearts of your people. Guard it. Don't count it strange that you go home or on the way home or tomorrow or midweek or next week, you start feeling twisted, you start feeling torn, you say, I am smarter than that. Spiritual intelligence. Wisdom, right? It's called wisdom. We're in need of wisdom. So we seal this word and we bless these people, everyone in this house. Blessing on you, blessing on you, blessing on you, blessing, blessing, blessing. Come tonight. There has been ground broken up in the house today for something to happen tonight. We have to walk the walk. Lord, we pray an open door, an open heaven for the prophetic word to come out tonight that is literally going to change the lives of people.
Yeah.
That you're going to flow through your people prophetically to speak a word that's going to change the direction. You have questions that are unanswered. The Spirit of God has the answer. We pray protection over tonight, even throughout the day on your people. And we pray that the people that come tonight come with a hunger and expectancy and desire to hear from you, because you're a dad and you want to talk to your kids. We pray a release for tonight. We pray for unclogged wells, that people are going to come in with clogged wells with questions that are unanswered. You're going to unclog the well, and there's going to be a river come up out of the people. Listen, there's going to be people tonight that are baptized in the Spirit of God, and they're going to speak with unknown tongues, and they've never done it before. There's going to be people tonight that are stuck that are going to become unstuck. People that are struggling that are going to come into this place where the oil of the Lord is going to be poured on, just like the Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz. They are creaking and they are walking and God's going to pour oil on the joints of his people, and you're going to move freely in the Spirit. Dreams and visions that you've had on the inside of you, released. Gifts on the inside of you, released. You will bear much fruit in the days to come. Stay in the river. Let the river nourish you. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name.